Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh, so much for the blessed opportunity you've given us once again to be able to study your word. Help us now as we continue to study the encouraging words that you have recorded for us. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word encouragement, let's pick it up here in John chapter 15 as we see some very encouraging words from the Lord, where it reads, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, a husbandman here refers to the one who maintains and tends to the crop or the field, or in this case, the vine. So we know that the Heavenly Father is the one that is ultimately in control of tending to that vine. As it continues, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. This word purging, meaning to prune, to trim back. If you have fruit trees, you know and understand, you trim them and prune them in a proper way, they produce even more fruit. As it continues, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. So here we see he's specifically talking to the born-again Christians that have a connection with him, because he is in us and we are in him. That's who he's addressing here. As he continues in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Let's look at Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse 22, we see here what he's speaking of when it comes to fruit. As it reads, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. He's telling us right here what we will be bearing as born-again Christians, because the Holy Ghost is in us. That's the Father working through the Holy Ghost in us and presenting and displaying the fruits, which are, again, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those things will be displayed when you are a fruit-bearing Christian. When you are tied into the vine, which is Jesus Christ, and the work is being done in you by the Holy Ghost, tended to by the Father, all that working together, we have that unity. We become part of the family and being tended to. And when we are connected properly, and when we study in His Word, when we're abiding by His guidelines, then we will bear those fruits. As it continues, verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Over and over we see the emphasis of love. It's very difficult to love someone who hates you. It's very difficult to love someone who is set out to do evil all the time. But we are commanded to love everyone. We have to have a deep concern for other people's eternal soul. When we see some evil behavior going on, we can hate the evil behavior, but not the individual. We need to have compassion. We need to pity them. We need to pray for them, that they come out of that evil behavior before they wind up in a lake of fire. And that is displaying the love that we should be displaying. The love of Jesus Christ that can come into us and overflow and be distributed to the people that we have interactions with. We need to get ourselves out of the way, because ourselves are full of hatred, full of evil. Get that out of the way. Mortify that, as he tells us. Separate that. Stay in the spirit, not in the flesh. Verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Once again, we hear about those commandments. The commandments that he emphasized so greatly, which we read over and over. And they truly do tell us, as it says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus saith unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Once again, emphasizing that love. Love. Sincere concern for someone else's well-being. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Notice here that in doing what the Lord has told us to do here, to love others, that we will be filled with joyfulness. Because you get away from that hate, which eats you up more than it does others. And the joy can come in. Read that again. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Note, it's the joyfulness that can come to us through the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ by way of the Holy Ghost to us, so that our joy is increased. Verse 12, this is my commandment, emphasizing once again, that ye love one another as I have loved you. He loved us so much he was willing to give his life for us. We need to be willing to love others with that much concern for their well-being. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I commanded you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Isn't that awesome that we now have that same relationship that he was talking to the disciples about here? That we are no longer merely considered servants, but are considered friends of the one who spoke everything into existence, friends to God Almighty. That is awesome. That is encouraging. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. There's the qualifier. What were those commandments? Primarily, love God with all your existence and to love others as yourself. So you have to start out with loving God. So you have to start out by acknowledging and accepting the truth that is written in the Word of God of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Then you are a born-again Christian. When you repent from your sins, ask for forgiveness, accept Jesus Christ as who He is, Lord of all, and then start the work, start the growth, start bearing the fruits One of those fruits is love. Love for others. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. He's commanded us over and over to love. Not to hate, not to fight, not to stir up trouble, but to love. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. That is awesome there. The way that he opens up that line of communication to us by way of the Holy Ghost. As it continues, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, some folks might say, well, wait a minute, I chose to become a Christian. Well, you chose to become a Christian because the Holy Ghost was calling you. The Holy Ghost must initiate the work in everyone. The Holy Ghost is the one who starts the work and completes the connection to the Heavenly Father by the finished work of Jesus Christ. So the call goes out, and then you respond to that call by accepting it or rejecting it. As it continues, these things I command you that ye love one another. Over and over we see this. Love one another. Love one another. People need to really get that in their heads, to love one another. And not only in their heads, but in their hearts. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And that's something we're dealing with. And know and understand, when the world hates a Christian, they're truly hating Jesus Christ that the Christian is displaying. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. We know there's an increase of persecution around the world against Christians. We can surely see that here in the United States. More and more, as the evil politicians that are implementing things to destroy any influence of Christianity in the world. And we can see this, as I say, on the increase in this country greatly. But we know that it has been prophesied that this would occur, and that we are going to be facing that, but we still need to do what we are supposed to do, and that is to love one another. Even those scoundrels that are trying to pass laws and control the Christians and silence the Christians and even condemn and brutalize and even kill Christians, we're still supposed to have compassion and pity for them. Because you got to remember the awesome example that we have in the Word of God recorded about Paul. When he was called Saul, went out seeking as many Christians as he could to go back to bring them back to Jerusalem so that they could be killed. Even on his way to Damascus, specifically to go find Christians to bring them back to be killed. And he was saved. The Lord had mercy on him, made him one of the greatest missionaries of all time. So those scoundrels out there that are doing everything they can against God right now, we still need to be praying for them, still need to be having pity for them, to know that they are blinded by Satan. We need to pray that they get their eyes opened up and receive the call of the Holy Ghost. As we continue in verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. That's ultimately what's going on. Is they're going after you as a born-again Christian because you're displaying Jesus Christ. They don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know the Father. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. The world is without excuse because Jesus Christ has revealed himself to everyone before they leave this world. They will have been given a revelation of the understanding and the knowledge of the existence of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost, and they will either refuse to believe that, turn away from it, or accept it. Simple as that. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both sinned and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, that would be the Holy Ghost, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. As we know, when the Holy Ghost comes into them, as well as into us, we can apply chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And that's awesome that we have that available to us, because we of our own ability, of our own mental capacity, cannot comprehend the Word of God. But knowing that we are indwelt with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, and able to understand and then share that with others by his power, by his ability, then we can take comfort in that. And knowing that it's all going to be done by the power of the Holy Ghost. And hang on for the ride. In chapter 16, let's go ahead and continue right on into that, because these are some more awesome words of encouragement given to us directly from the Lord. Where it reads, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. See, he's telling us about the persecutions. He's telling us about how there are going to be people out there that are going to hate us because we are born-again Christians and displaying the love of Jesus Christ, and that we shouldn't be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. That's one of the crazy things there, that some of these people are so disturbed, so confused, so blinded by Satan, that they think they are on the moral high ground, and that Christians are the evil ones, the ones that are filled with hate speech and so forth. Like all these crazy groups that are out now, that the LGBTQ bunch and the other wackos out there that say that if God was a God of love, he wouldn't care if we do what we do because it's all in love. No, it's a perversion. It's a disgusting sin. Because we call it a disgusting sin and a perversion, they get mad. But they need to know that the reason we acknowledge it and know that it is a disgusting perversion and that it's going to wind up costing them dearly, and they're going to wind up in the lake of fire for eternity if they don't change their ways. We understand that as born-again Christians. They don't. They don't see that. And they then turn around and say, well, you're filled with hate speech. If it was that we hated them, we wouldn't say anything to them. We just let them go ahead and wallow in their sins and wind up in the lake of fire. But because we care for them and want them to come out of that perversion and tell them about that, then they say, oh, you hate us. And that's what he's talking about here. That they will be so built up with anger against us for pointing out their sins that they'll want to kill us and think that they're doing a good deed. Verse 3, and these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. That's clearly the problem. They don't know the Lord. They do not know the Heavenly Father. They do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Therefore, they are anti-Christ, and they are against anybody who displays Jesus Christ. Period. Verse 4, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? He's speaking to the disciples here. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Interesting verse there. He's telling the disciples at that time that they cannot really comprehend what he's already given them, and that once they receive the Holy Ghost, he's going to reveal to them even more things. And that's awesome to know, that when you now become a born-again Christian, you instantly are indwelt with the Holy Ghost. The disciples then, as the Lord's telling them right here in these passages, that the Holy Ghost isn't going to be given to them until after the Lord ascends up to sit on the right hand of the Father. As we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The Lord telling them that right before his ascension. He ascended right before their eyes, and 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, you see over in chapter 2 of Acts, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Instantly, they were displaying some of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And we as well. When we are indwelt with the Holy Ghost, we'll instantly be changed and start to display the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Ghost. Not fully and instantly, all of them, of course not. You'll be given different gifts as you grow. Your fruits will have to develop and grow as well as you grow into your life of being a Christian, displaying more and more. And as the Lord purgeth or pruneth us as well, taking off and taking away those things that are harmful or useless in our lives, and then we'll continue to bear more and more fruit. All by the power of the Holy Ghost given to us when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Let's get back over into John chapter 16, verse 13, where it reads, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." That revelation of understanding of what's about to happen, the prophecies that were given to the disciples, and the comfort and peace and all the other gifts and fruits that he gives all of us today when we trust in him. Verse 14, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Now, verse 16 here, he's telling him, because he presented this to them and told them this shortly before his crucifixion. And he's talking about that they won't see him because he'll be in the grave for those 3 days. Then they'll see him again, then he'll ascend to the Father. And then he'll indwell them with the Holy Ghost, as we are indwelt with the Holy Ghost. Well, let's continue this in 16 here as he's teaching the disciples, and they're a little bit confused because they had not yet received the Holy Ghost, therefore they are confused. But as we see this in verse 17, then said some of the disciples among themselves, "What is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father?" They said, therefore, "What is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith." Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, "Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy, because they know and see and witness his resurrection." And he sticks around some 40 days preaching and teaching to them and then ascends to the Father. They witness that. They see that. That's where that joy is returned to them. Verse 21, "A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish of for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you." And that is awesome. "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father." And that's how he communicates to us, plainly, by way of the Holy Ghost, by way of his word. "At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father." Talking about the deity of Jesus Christ. Talking about how they are together now. Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father. So when we pray to Jesus Christ, we're praying directly to the Father as well. So much he has given us, so many comforting words. We'll get back into them next time, but that's all we have time for. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for these comforting words that we have in here. These words of encouragement, help us to apply them properly. Encourage us to go out and share them with others. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.